are tuned into the greatest.
Welcome to The Real Estate Report, the podcast you can trust with valuable information and tech tools you can apply to the real estate game. And now your host, August Alexander.
Hello and welcome to The Real Estate Report. I'm August Alexander. I'm joined with Jackie Polisi and Ben Mozzarella
and Sven Muhlenberg.
This is going to be a great show because we have so many outstanding things for you guys today. Today, our show is sponsored by OpenSpace. It's a great application for real estate. If you get an opportunity, go to OpenSpace on wherever you get your local applications and download it at my OpenSpace app. We've got a great show for you. Sven's got some pocket listings. What are you going to cover?
I do. Thanks, August. There was a surge in forbearances last week. The housing market snapped an unlikely 9-week winning streak. Families that are fleeing cities are pushing up suburban home prices. Larger homes are making a comeback in the U.S. And real estate investors are bullish.
I thought that was short for another word. Well, Jackie's got what's moving you this week.
What moves you? What moves me is technology. And part of the story this week has to do with using technology to find your future home, to sell your current home. But using technology, it's in the palm of your hands. We're going to learn all about it.
Great. Technology to move. That sounds like a great story.
All right.
And our main story this week is about the perfect storm in real estate that could quickly be upon us here in this coming 2021 season. What it is, what does it mean for you as an investor, as a homeowner, or just as a person living and trying to survive in this current forced quarantine or forced normal that we're dealing with? So all of those stories and more we're going to have in this week's version of The Real Estate Report, and we're going to get this thing moving right now with the pocket listings from Sven Mozzarella.
There was a surge in forbearances last week. After 3 weeks of declining totals, Black Knight says the number of active COVID-19 forbearance homes shot up last week. As of June 23rd, there were 4.7 million homeowners in forbearance. That turned around the decline, which we've seen since May 22nd. As of right now, 8.8% of active mortgages are in forbearance, and that is about $1 trillion. And one thing a lot of people probably aren't thinking about as they go about their lives through COVID is that servicers of these loans are required to make principal and interest payments to investors and taxes and insurance premiums even when the homeowners are not paying their mortgage. Right now, that's almost $5 billion a month. The housing market snaps an unlikely 9-week winning streak. Purchase activity fell off a cliff in March and April, as we all know, because of COVID. But then the freefall stopped. For 9 consecutive weeks now, mortgage applications have actually surpassed their volume from the week prior. And this is a very closely watched indicator of housing demand. But mortgage applications is not terrible. Mortgage application volume is still higher than most people would have anticipated at this point. This fall might indicate that all of the pent-up demand and low rates that drove the surge in mortgage applications has been exhausted or reaching a tipping point of some kind. This demand, however, is clashing with tight supply of new and existing homes on the market. To make matters worse for buyers, new home construction, especially in lower price tiers, has never really recovered from the issues in 08. This short supply may prevent millennials from buying their first home. A Bloomberg opinion columnist named Noah Smith wrote, "A large fraction of millennials are thus on track to be a sad and lost generation. Too old for the young, rebellious, independent bohemian life, but too poor and indebted to move to the suburbs and start families."
That's a downer.
That is a downer. You really want to invite that guy to your next cocktail party. Yeah, just start talking to him and see how he brings us down.
Yeah. Maybe he's better with cocktails.
Maybe. Families that are fleeing the city are pushing up suburban home prices. Cash flush buyers are fleeing cities, and they're actually competing for homes right now. Home sales were down through May by like 27%, but it looks like that's turning around. Home views of suburban listings on Realtor.com grew 13% in May. That was not the case for urban areas. That was much slower. I have an example of a homeowner outside of New York City who worked around COVID. They actually listed their house right before the COVID outbreak just shut everything down, and they thought that they weren't going to be able to sell their house. But then they came across an opportunity of a service that creates virtual tours. They paid $1,000 to get a virtual tour, and as soon as they published it, they started getting hits and they started getting offers.
Right.
Most homes in the suburbs that paid for such tours are getting multiple offers, even with people not visiting the house.
Yeah, it's a virtual generation.
It absolutely is. Mm-hmm. This isn't confined to suburbs outside of New York City and other early coronavirus hotspots. A seller in Dallas listed their home on a Thursday at 5 p.m., and they had an above asking price offer on their home by noon on Saturday. This feels to me like a seismic shift in consumer behavior for home buying, because a year ago, not very many people would be willing to buy a house without visiting it. But think about like your life before Amazon. Now people buy almost everything without touching it and feeling it and seeing it first. The Amazon effect. Another thing that's happening because of this flight from the cities is it's causing rents to fall. So people who have kept their jobs and aren't fleeing will probably benefit if they decide to stay. Apartment listing platform Zumper found that rents in the 10 most expensive cities in the US either fell or were flat in June. It's really a tale of two cities. Households with one or two incomes that can work from home are secure and their home values are growing. However, low single-family home inventory, along with tightening of credit, threatens to lock lower-income families out of the market. Larger homes in the U.S. are making a comeback. It's a great time to sell if you want to downsize. If you've been sitting on a large house and you haven't been able to unload it, there's going to be a lot more interest now. The trend towards less is more has been flipped by months under lockdown. This forced lockdown has created a lockdown boomerang. And that's changed the direction of the real estate market from smaller to bigger. Buyers in every market are eyeing extra space. They need, not just want, they need extra rooms for multiple home offices, a home gym, classroom space, media room. And this is obviously driving up the required footprint size for the house. So large properties that might have languished on the market in recent years are seeing a spike in interest. However, some of those homeowners who've been trying to unload their house are now reconsidering. They want to save because they recognize that you need all this extra space after pandemic. What's really popular are houses called jewel box mansions. They're smaller than a McMansion. Like the McMansions that were popular years ago, this is like a new trend that people come in, and even though they have the money to get the size and the land for a McMansion, they're spending a little bit less on the house, so they can use that extra money to really make their house a very smart house, a smarter house that's big enough for them. Words matter, however. There's got to be a psychology to this, but the word mansion on its own is being avoided in listings, in ads for very large houses.
Just big home. It's a great big home.
Yeah, I mean, they might say Jewel Box Mansion, they might say McMansion, but they're not saying just mansion, because I guess it's just not on trend right now.
Yeah, compound. You could have everybody, hey, I did that story last week where everybody's living under one roof. Mm-hmm. Those are bigger footprint houses.
Yeah.
There you go.
Well, that is great.
The last story for today is real estate investors are bullish, and let's hope that they are right. A story in Realtor magazine says that a majority of real estate investors in the U.S. are optimistic about the strength of the housing market going forward. The survey included house flippers, landlords of rental homes, and real estate investment mortgage brokers, among others. 80% say that they believe the impact of the pandemic on their business will be short. 42% of them say that they expect the pandemic to influence their businesses for less than 6 months. 12% of them actually say that it won't impact them at all. This optimism is based on several factors, but two big ones are the fact that more Americans are working from home, so they will want more space. They need a bigger home. Many investors are also looking for smaller projects and easy flips to take advantage of the sudden rise in buyer demand.
These are great stories, really. You get the good and the bad. There's going to be a fallout from all of this COVID that, you know, we're being quarantined and learning so much about the market and housing and our families and our needs and priorities. But there's going to be a fallout from so many of these things that we're going to see a decade from now.
Absolutely. It's all interconnected. There's going to be a big surge in Broga Pants demand.
That is this week's Spin on Top Stories.
Spin on Spin.
Spin on Top Stories.
All right.
Okay. Up next, we have Jackie with her segment.
So what moves you?
Well,
what moves you may be a move in your future. You've had some time to think about it, right? You've mulled it over, and now it's time for a move. Time to pack up those kids, pack up the dog, and get out of Dodge. Maybe you're moving to another city, another state, or another country, but it's time to move. Maybe it's a job transfer. Maybe it's a job change. Maybe you just want to be closer to your family. Well, a move can be exciting, but it can also be a challenge, but it doesn't have to be. In our pocket listings today, we were talking about virtual tours and how you can learn all that you need to know about a new home, a new city, a new state, all virtually in the palm of your hand or just from your PC. So with today's technology at the helm, you can take advantage of online tools, not only to help you relocate, but to navigate the decisions that go into moving, to help with detailed searches, and also to keep you organized. Also to figure out how much you can actually afford. There are so many online tools that can help you throughout the entire process that it doesn't have to be a tangible thing where you're going to visit a home anymore, which is kind of interesting how this has forced us to make this change and be proactive and do some of this research on our own. Now, there are loads of apps and software out there that can help you make this mundane task a lot easier and make it pretty minor. And so you can take advantage of property sites such as Realtor.com, Zillow, Trulia. Maybe you've heard about a couple of those. There's tons of them out there.
Open Space.
Open Space is another one. It's a great one to look at. So there are places out there that you can go, and they're set up to really simplify the search and provide more details about the home and the whole process in getting you to where you need to be and everything in between. Now, one caveat is you certainly want to try to avoid sites such as Craigslist or other social media postings that can probably, you know, you don't want to be a victim of a potential home scam. So avoid those sites unless it's really somebody that you know, and stick to those ones that have been well established. YouTube is a great resource. As we're all finding, YouTube is a great resource for so many things, but for home buying, it's become really one of the biggest ones because most real estate agents and agencies are creating videos to showcase homes, whether it's a McMansion, a jewel box, or an apartment. Whether you want to rent or buy, it's being showcased online. You can browse photos, you can connect with agents, you can check out all the little unique nuances of a home that make it desirable to you. So even people looking to sell their home without a real estate agent will create their own YouTube video about the home that's for sale. Just like you would go find a VRBO or a bed and breakfast, you can see everything that you want to see, and sometimes you're pleasantly surprised when you get there because it's better than you thought, and sometimes you're like, whoa, didn't quite translate in video. Regardless, there's a great way to find out what you need by searching the web. So YouTube is another great one. And so not only on YouTube can you find the home you're looking for, but there are those resources that I was talking about that can help you with that move or that relocation. So financing options. There are people out there who are promoting their marketing, how to set yourself up financially and the financial options that are available to you. The market trends. You want to know what's happening? Is it a buyer's market? Is it a seller's market? You can find out that information. There's lots of news sources on YouTube related to the real estate industry. So what to look for when you're buying a new home? Some of the pros and cons of renting versus buying. All kinds of people like to talk about things like that. Determining how much you can afford. Also, resources on YouTube and the best time to buy. So when you're looking for news, tidbits, or just the home searches, you can find them online. The home buying process from A to Z can be found there. And we're all using the internet now to search out every little thing that we want. So why not buy a home virtually?
Yeah.
Using technology can help you navigate a move, whether it's in-state or out-state and out-of-state, and can provide you the tools that you need to get there. Now, keep in mind, it's a great big world out there. And if you've used the internet and you've used these apps to find your next home, it may not be your last home. So if you've gotten there and you figured out, you know what, it's not everything that I thought it was going to be, you figured out how to navigate this process and you can start all over again to find that place and really now know what you need to look for in these virtual tours or ask the questions of the agents online. But the point is, use these resources that are available to us. They're so easy now, and you might even find something that you wouldn't have found otherwise.
And you can actually have enough confidence to make an offer on a house without going to see it.
Absolutely.
You're not locked in. There might be some issues with the house that you don't know yet, but there's the whole inspection process that protects you.
Yeah. We were talking about the Amazon effect, right? Yeah. We used to buy things because it was tangible and we could touch it and feel it. We had to go to the mall and really it was that peck and hunt. It was the thrill of the hunt, right? When you found it, you couldn't live without it. You got it. Mm-hmm. Now we're getting more savvy about what we're looking for online and using technology as a tool to our advantage and being able to navigate all of those nuances that I was talking about that allow you to see the good versus the ones that are not so good and be able to find something in between.
I mean, it's learned user behavior. Amazon, other platforms like that have now made us very dependent on our technology, mm-hmm. right? You see, you know, children at a very young age, they're using those things and going around. But really so much of the way that Amazon has really created a new consumer behavior.
Yeah.
We know that if we need to buy something, if we have time to wait for it, even now with Prime, you're getting it within 24 hours, your behavior now is lending towards the next most simpler thing, right? So you think about it in the context of, you know, when you went from just stovetop to a microwave, mm-hmm. it created a new user behavior, mm-hmm. which created new user buying habits, which were TV dinners, et cetera, that you can just put into the microwave, get them out quick and move on. Our attention span is designed to work that way with the Instagram, Twitters, et cetera, mm-hmm. 120 characters, 60 second of a posting inside of an Instagram. All of those things lend towards the next logical progression, which is being able to buy, lease, or fix any of your real estate needs, finding those online and being able to transact that way.
Certainly. And it's not a fad. It's not a trend. This is something that has started. Mm-hmm. It's gaining momentum and it's going to be our future. It's what we're going to use as a tool. And you may end up in a place that you never thought you would because of that online resource being able to showcase something a little more than just a home with a white picket fence.
As always, JP is the best at giving us the stories that we need that help the two of us seem much smarter than we are.
Hey, it's what moves me, so I'm sure it's what moves you, right?
Absolutely.
There you go.
Great. So that's going to bring us full circle. That brings us into our next piece, which is the main story. So let's get into that. Let's figure out where we are with the perfect storm in the housing and economical impact that looks like it'd be right on the horizon in 2021. So we have been looking at the horizon of this COVID situation that we've been dealing with of late. Everyone in the world is dealing with. How is it impacting you as much as it impacts the world? And we want to make sure that we get information out there that helps our listener family out there to prepare themselves for what could or could possibly not happen. But it's better to be prepared for something than need to get prepared once those things start to happen. We've got a couple of different things that are happening right now, and it's all related to what the perfect storm could possibly be. Back in 1991, there was a movie that was super famous that I wrote. It was called The Perfect Storm, starring George Clooney and Mark Wahlberg, about a fishing boat that left out of Gloucester, Boston, which this story that I wrote about the perfect storm is probably the best thing to ever happen to Boston in the history of Boston.
Good Will Hunting?
Yeah.
That in there?
No, that wasn't in there. I should have won an Oscar for this thing. But the idea of it is that in 1991, Halloween 1991, the perfect storm converges in this area. And it was consisted of three hurricanes, three extreme tropical depressions, all kind of collapse in on this space. And it was very unlikely. It was a once in a century storm that could possibly happen. And this fishing boat, very small fishing boat, it was about the size of the boat that Sven's family came over from Scandinavia in. And they end up trapped in this area between these three storms called the perfect storm. Why? Because, you know, three very unlikely situations happened to cause these storms to end up in the same place. Now, what does it have to do with us and where we are in real estate? We are looking at three different, almost hurricane-type situations that are possibly coming down the pike. One is an economic recession. Two is a depression in the housing market. And three is that there is no financial relief to help persons who are either owning homes, paying mortgages, or renting homes. And so we see, like in the CARES Act, there's a situation with the CARES Act. The House, they are trying to move forward a bill that could help with the housing crisis that could, you know, basically be upon us in those March, April, May months of 2021. But it looks like this bill is very unlikely to pass. This bill would allocate over $100 billion to emergency rental assistance programs nationally, to help persons who are in positions where they're renting homes be able to make it through this crisis where they're not able to get jobs. Mm-hmm. Well, because this bill may not pass, we'll see more evictions. Mm-hmm. We'll see persons who do not or have the economic means to be able to move forward or progress with their lives because they weren't able to get new jobs. And because of this situation of a recession that is, you know, economic based, there won't be jobs because the businesses are closing. They weren't able to make it through the first version of our first quarantine. But as this forced quarantine has been extended, you've seen how it's affecting movie theaters, restaurants, car dealerships. Every business down the line is really having an effect from either not being able to keep employees on, mm-hmm. laying off employees, or not being able to bring those employees back now that things are opening up. We've seen the forbearance situations. As forbearances were attached to the stimulus packages, which were giving people who had mortgages the ability to attach those months that they weren't able to pay their rent to the end of their mortgage terms or amortize those fees over their mortgage terms. Because they're not able to do those things or those will not extend into 2021, now we're going to have that situation that extends. So now you've got two of the three situations that are happening that are could potentially cause a perfect storm. You've got one, specifically, the economic situation. Two, that there is no forbearances or stimulus package that helps persons with rental assistance. And three, becomes a shortage in homes, available properties for people to live in. Now, how do we end up with a situation with a shortage of homes? Well, because now you've got no extension of credit. People don't have the credit, or their credit has been damaged mm-hmm. from the situations that have happened, you know, during this time. So they don't qualify for first-time homebuyer programs or new homebuyer programs, nor do they have the credit to be able to qualify for new homes, new rental processes. So as those rental criterias or mortgage criterias start to get more stringent as far as what credit is being extended or what type of credit you need to be able to get into these homes, then the housing market starts to shrink. There's less properties that are available because you don't qualify for right. those properties. Now, all of those things could happen all at the same time. They could happen in a, you know, a staggered case of events. You can get one that extends into the other, or you can get one that ends and then the other one begins, or you can get all three of those systems that happen all at the same time. Should that happen, you can see a situation in that March, April, May of 2021, where now as a person who is an investor, right? Mm-hmm. There will be a lot of investor opportunity because much like the recession of 2008, you'll see a lot of homes that become available. And then what do? As an investor, that's the time you want to be able to maximize your earning potential is buying homes that are under market value or mm-hmm. undervalued, that have a great deal of equity that still have them because of, you know, persons who have been foreclosed on, et cetera, or have to abandon these properties because they're not able to move forward with them. So it's a very, I hate to use the word sketchy, but it is a very volatile situation that we're looking at. I think the key is to, you know, keep checking the forecast, keep seeing how things are moving, what the ebbs and flows are, being very conscious of where you are in the timeline of this thing as far as the COVID situation is concerned, as far as your local economy is concerned, tied to the national economy. As we've talked about before, national experts are not local experts. Mm-hmm. So you've got to make sure that you're getting the most recent information for the area that you live in.
Yeah, backing up a little bit, globally, is this unique to the U.S.?
It is a situation that's very unique to the U.S. because the safeguards that were put in place as the world started to go into quarantine were not the same as the what was put into place in the United States. Enforced quarantine situations in other countries like China, even in Italy, there was a moratorium to being able to collect rent, which offset the need for any type of evictions because the rent was not being accumulated, right? So the debt was not being accumulated. So it was basically a pause on life. Everything stopped until they got the situation under control, and then it resumed as if none of those months had happened. They hadn't, you know, happened. So in our situation, we went into a forced quarantine, which was creating this forced normal situation that we were living in. But as that was happening, the debt was accumulating.
Right.
So whether you were a small business owner and your, you know, property manager was still asking you to continue to pay these fees, or you were living in your own apartment and your landlord was still accumulating those fees, or your mortgage, your forbearance, you used it early and you weren't able to get an extension or another one. So all of those were situations here in the U.S. that were very unique because we were continuing to accumulate this debt. And now that we have it and there's not really a remedy on the other side, as we talk about, you know, this bill that's, you know, being proposed right now that more than likely is not going to pass. And then you go into an election cycle and you have to look for the new governing body that comes in to help try to figure out what solutions exist there on the other side of that. For better or worse, we've had a president who has ran on the platform of business, you know, creating business, creating industry for the United States, creating jobs for the United States. And so, again, you know, as we look to the horizon on the other side, depending on which way you decide to go and who ends up in office, it could positively or negatively affect how those things end up on the other side. And to that point, can add another element to what could be the perfect economic and real estate storm. So in the wake of the perfect storm, the Real Estate Report, in partnership with the Open Space Application, are trying to help people. We're trying to give people the best opportunity to live their best lives and have a little less stress. And in doing that, you can go to myopenspaceapp.com. There's a contest there which gives you an opportunity to win $1,000 in rent assistance or mortgage assistance that comes directly to you. It's hard money. It's hard cash. $1,000 every week to help you with your rental assistance or mortgage. So you just go to the Open Space app. It's myopenspaceapp.com. Click it. When you go in there, download the application and build yourself a profile. It's that easy. Once you build a profile, it automatically...
Automatically enters.
You're in. You're in there. You're in there like Svenware.
And it's $1,000, and that's awesome. A stimulus from Open Space. There you go.
The Open Space stimulus package gives you an opportunity to get that. $1,000 we'll be giving away. So please go to myopenspaceapp.com, download the application, build your profile today. And at the end of the month, we'll be selecting a winner. So thank you guys again so much for being a part of the Real Estate Report. Thank you, Grandma Muhlenmacher, for watching this week's show. And we will see you guys next week at the Real Estate Report.
The proceeding was a paid program on KRDO News Radio. KRDO News Radio does not confirm nor deny the validity or accuracy of the information contained in this program. And the views expressed do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of the staff and management of KRDO News Radio.
Those door knockers are back out in the Colorado Springs area. They're the kind of roofers that trick you into signing a contract. They say, hey, we're here for a free inspection. Next thing you know, you're stuck with these clowns. It probably won't even be around in a year. I'm consumer advocate Mark Major. When you want a free roof inspection, call the people I trust. Excel Roofing. Excel's been in business for nearly 30 years. And you don't pay a cent until you're content. Call 434-3020. 434-3020. Gaddy Electric has been in Colorado Springs for years and years. In fact, the owner, Mark Gaddy, was born in Colorado Springs. I love his philosophy. Great service at very reasonable prices. An electrician you can afford. At some point, you're going to need an electrician. Call the local guys you can trust. Gaddy Electric. No job too big or too small. Call Gaddy Electric, 268-9433. That's 268-9433. Or check him out at referralist.com.